Well, let's turn the scriptures to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is one of those psalms that you want to go back to again and again and again because of all the promises that are in this psalm. So we want to enjoy those promises tonight. Just enjoy them and receive them, standing on the Word of God and just believing those promises for our lives too, and apply to our lives as God would show us. And so we're looking at Psalm 37. And we want to read the first two verses here. It says this, Psalm 37, "Fret not yourself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And so the Lord is letting us know that we're really not to fret. The Living Bible translation of Philippians 4:7 is simply that, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And that's a lifelong verse that we can have. Put it on your refrigerator and really try to practice it. And so we're told not to fret. And I like here from one commentator the word relax. Relax about these things. Well, you look at that and you say, maybe that's too laid back. But no, as we look at verse 7. So let's take a look at verse 7. It says this, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Now, nothing's more relaxing than that, is resting in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. So those wicked folks that are getting rich and have lots and lots of money, we're not to ever be envious of them, and to have actually a relaxation and a non-reaction as they might come against what we believe in and against the Lord. We're not to let that get to us. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep marching forward for him. And so this resting in the Lord, what a beautiful clause that is in verse 7, as we want to define fret not, is to rest in the Lord. And that is the most relaxing rest of all. I remember when our little kids were really small, our four boys, we had four babies in 5 years, and we had three of them in diapers at once. And if anybody that's raised toddlers knows that that is probably the most difficult time of life in raising kids. Hopefully when they get to be teenagers, they aren't as bad as the toddlers. Sometimes they are, but anyway, Sherry was finding herself with sleep deprivation. She couldn't sleep. The boys wouldn't let her sleep. And, and so she was very, very tired for years and really depleted and just finding no rest for a long time physically. And God spoke to her. We started really getting close to the Lord in those days. And the Lord spoke to her and said, "You need to rest in me. You need to rest in me." And she really found that to be true, and actually made the statement one time when I got home from work that she just got 10 minutes of rest in the Lord on the couch and said, "You know, I just felt refreshed, like I had 8 hours of sleep." And it was a miracle, but it was the Lord. Rest in the Lord. There's a wonderful rest to be had in the Lord. And so God would have us seek that and seek to not fret ourselves because of this or that or the other thing. And it just so happens here in Psalm 37, it has to do with the subject of being envious of evildoers, the workers of iniquity, as it says in verse 1. Now, there are scriptures about this and other psalms, and I think we've read these recently, so I want to just quote them to you. Psalm 73, 2 says this, and this kind of adds something to the picture. The psalmist says in Psalm 73:2, my feet were almost gone. My feet were almost gone, meaning that I almost stumbled big time. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, and just began to look at that and see that and wonder why the Christian has to be poor, but this person that's wicked over here is rich, kind of thing. And this is a place where our feet almost are gone, and we can slip and stumble in our walk with the Lord if we allow ourselves to get into that kind of thing. It's covetousness, really. Until, the psalmist says in verse 17 in Psalm 73, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and come to church and you sit before the Lord, then I understood their end. And that's where the enviousness goes away. Because they are in slippery places, the Bible says. Those that trust in riches instead of in the Lord, those that are doing wicked things to get ahead with money-wise or whatever, and you begin to understand their end as you study the Bible. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're studying their end. So we read in Psalm 37, verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You know, I always picture when I read these kinds of scriptures about grass and so forth in the Bible, and how quick life is compared to the flowering of grass and so forth. Is our grass out here on the field, that we have to mow that grass. And a little less in the winter, but in the summer a lot, to keep it looking good. And you probably, most of you know about that, whether you grew up in a house with grass or have a house with grass even now. But you see, they're like the grass. And the grass it just comes up and then it gets cut down. And that's what the imagery is given to us. For they are soon cut down, like the grass. And wither as the green herb. And when the sun comes out real good, unless you water a lot, you're going to get some brown grass because it just withers away. And so this is a kind of a picture that God's giving us about those that we might be envious of, or those that would ill treat us, or we see in wicked ways and so forth around us. The Lord wants us to know that. In fact, the imagery of the final judgment in the book of Revelation is given to us as really a great big grass cutting ceremony. And let's take a look at that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. Revelation 14, 14. This is, of course, during the tribulation period, and Revelation 14, 14 begins to show the wrap-up of the tribulation period coming. And this whole imagery is given. As the Apostle John is being revealed to by the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ given to the Apostle John. In Revelation 14, 14 it says, I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man. Of course, we know that's Jesus Christ. Having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now in those days, they didn't use weed eaters, or they didn't use hedgers, and they didn't use lawnmowers. They used a sickle to cut down the grass, to harvest fields and so forth, and to cut grass. They just had a great big sharp sickle. And you've probably seen pictures of what they known as the Grim Reaper, is someone with a hood over and the robe and a sickle to reap. And that imagery, of course, comes, I believe, from the angels that are pictured here in Revelation. But here we have Jesus with a sharp sickle. He's got a golden crown on his head because he's the King of Kings, but he's got a sickle in his hand because he truly is the one that will come to judge and make war, the Bible says in chapter 19, with those that dwell upon the earth. But then we begin to see a couple other, some other beings with Jesus, and then a couple of angels. And in verse 15 it says, "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.' And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, which would be Jerusalem, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles, all the way up to the horses' bridles, by the space of 180 miles. It says 1,600 furlongs, about 180 miles of blood, all the way up to the horses' bridle. And so as you think of the wicked that you might be tempted to be envious of, who are either persecuting you or rich and you just wonder how they're so rich and you're not or whatever, then you're in the sanctuary of God tonight and you're considering their end, like the psalmist says in Psalm 73. Till I went into the sanctuary and considered their end. And this is the whole scenario, that there's going to be a cutting down like cutting grass with sharp sickles. And there's going to be a giant war with all the nations of the earth involved in the Valley of Armageddon or the Valley of Megiddo. Megiddo is the Greek, Armageddon is the Hebrew. And for 180 miles, blood will flow to horses' bridles as this great harvest of the earth takes in the winepress of the wrath of God. And so you can begin to feel sorry even now for the folks that'll face this. And you can begin to feel sorry even now for those that are going the wicked way and deciding against the Lord and making tons of money on the poor people or whatever they're doing, that's wicked, not of Jesus. And it sobers us to stay on that straight and narrow path and to do it the right way. And of course, the rest of this psalm in Psalm 37 is going to be about that. And so let's go on back now to Psalm 37 and just take in more of what's said here by the Lord. So Psalm 37. And we'll go ahead now and read verses 3 through 8. And these are wonderful promises here for you. This is the other way. We go the other way. We don't go the way of those that will be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. But it says here in verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord for your provision. You don't need to be envious at the workers of iniquity and so forth and just think about them. No, but you trust in the Lord and you do good. You just do good. Be honest, be forthright, going about doing good as Jesus did, asking his anointing, trust in the Lord and do good. So you shall dwell in the land. Praise God for that. And truly you shall be fed. And that's a promise. It's all through the Bible. We've talked about it many times. Truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, what does that mean? You know what that means? That means delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, that can't be true. Yes, it can, because it's written in the Bible. And let every man be a liar. Let God be true, and let every man a liar. And so our delight, as we delight in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And he works in our heart as we're delighting in him to build desires that are of him. And so he's pleased and blessed to surprise us with joy and to surprise us with the actual true desires of our heart. Now we might think we want this or we want that, but we don't know ourselves. That knowledge is too high for us. We cannot attain it. God knows us better than we know ourselves. There's even a song like that. And it's the truth of it. And so he made us, and he knows exactly what will bless us and please us and bring us to a place of satisfaction in him, which our deepest hearts desire. And as we delight ourselves in him, that will come to pass. That will come to pass. It says in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In other words, he will do it. He will do it. Now, it takes trust, as it says there in verse 3, the first word, trust. It takes trust because we don't want to trust the Lord with our future. The flesh doesn't want to do that. The flesh does not want to commit all of our ways to him. We don't want to do that because, you see, we have a certain delight plan for ourselves. The pursuit of happiness, as it says in the preamble of the Constitution, the pursuit of happiness. And so now I want to try to prophetically make that happen myself, to fulfill prophecy myself. But God says, no, that's not the way to do it, because you don't know yourself. And you don't know the things that will actually destroy you and the things that you will rue the day that you ever delighted in. You will rue the day. And so he says, delight in me. And then I will bring the desires of your heart, your true heart, the heart of longing to pass. I will get it done. Trust me, I will get it done. You don't have to be envious at the guy next door. You don't have to pursue this and pursue that that's a little bit off color so that you can maybe get to the place where you want to be and then you'll be good. Those kinds of thoughts. Burn those thoughts in your mind. Rebuke them. Trust the Lord. Trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. That is, trying to figure the way you're going to do this on your own. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. He will do it. He will direct your path. It's the way it's put in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so this is a very strong message in the Bible in several places as we've seen. Now I'd like to say one more thing about this word delight, because it's used in Psalm 1 also. And in connection with Psalm 1 and Psalm 37, 4, we can really get a full revelation of this delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Okay, let's go to Psalm 1 and see the promise there connected with this psalm of receiving the desires of your heart. Psalm 1. We'll just read 1:1 as kind of an introduction. This is the negative part. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I say negative because we don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You'll be happy if you don't. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, meaning not that you're going to stand in their way, but that you're going to be joining with them, standing in the way that sinners would go. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, spending all your time ripping on somebody. No, just look at Jesus. Just look at him. Don't waste your time putting folks down. Did you ever meet a person or hear about a person? Says, you know, I've never heard a negative word come out of that person's mouth about someone else. Did you ever hear somebody say that about somebody? Well, I've heard that several times through my life. And boy, I just want it, my head just goes, whoosh. I just want to listen very carefully. I want to find out who that is, you know, and observe them. And I want to be like that. Don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful, because most people are scornful. Just sometime when you're taking a walk or you're in a public place, just kind of eavesdrop on some of the conversations. Well, then she, after that, she, and I couldn't believe it. And I mean, you hear this all the time. And of course we get there, don't we? But God help us. We don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where? Verse 2. And this is, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. His delight is in the law of the Lord. How do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Delighting ourselves in his law, in what he has to say, in who he is. Delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate, really think on, really let the word circulate in my heart, day and night. So all day and all night, I go back to his word, I quote his word, I believe his word, I believe him and what he has to say to me. And look at the promise then, verse 3. This promise has always blessed me so much. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. That reminds me of Psalm 92, that even in old age, you'll bring forth fruit. Your leaf will not wither, but even in old age, you'll bring forth fruit, Psalm 92. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, we don't want to look at that word prosper and misinterpret it by, you know, by our own delights in the flesh. Oh, I'm going to prosper. That means I'm going to have millions and boats and planes and trains and places to live in when I get to the end of the boats and plates and trains. No, it means that you're going to be fulfilled in your life. You're going to see God's blessing, and you're going to see God's productiveness in your life and his provision, for he has promised provision. Indeed, as we just saw in the scripture a minute ago, the provision will be there. You'll dwell in the land and truly you will be fed. You will dwell in the promised land of God and truly you will be fed. And so these things are ours to believe God for and to enjoy as God brings us these blessings and this being prosperous in whatever we do. And so this is what God wants for us, not the other way, to where we're just cut down like grass and wither away as old grass or brown grass. And so these wonderful promises. Now let's go on back then to Psalm 37. And it says in verse 6, we just read verses 4 and 5, it says in verse 6, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Now I like other translations on this. This is really a beautiful verse. He, that is the Lord, shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday, justice and life and so forth. Now, the wicked will come against you. They'll accuse you along with the constant accuser of the brother and so forth. And you have this gyration, and that gyration, we fight not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places in the world. All these things go on. But the Lord promises to bring forth our righteousness as the light, to vindicate us, and to bring us into that eternal blessing. And your judgment, or your justice, is the noonday. Now let me read it in other translations. It's so beautiful. The NIV translation at the beginning of verse 6 says this, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. Oh, whenever you get have a chance to get up at dawn, what a blessing it is. Remember leaving on a trip one time at dawn, and the clouds were so beautiful in the morning. It's a quiet time of day when everybody's still in bed, A lot of people are. But he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. And then I picked up on verse 6, the first part and second part from the Living Bible. It's so great. Your innocence will be clear to everyone. If you walk with the Lord, your innocence will be clear to everyone. He will vindicate you with the blazing light of justice shining down as from the noonday sun. Is that not beautiful? And it's a place of rest in the Lord. That's why we saw in verse 7, rest in the Lord. And let's read it again. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. There's a relaxation there because God will vindicate you and God will bring forth your innocence to be clear to everyone. And he will vindicate you with the blazing light of justice shining down as from the noonday sun. And that is so wonderful and so precious. Now, you know, you might not agree with Barack Obama and his policies. I certainly don't agree with him on many things. But I think when you think about it, you might agree on something. That God saw the plight of the African American in this country. And Martin Luther King Jr. was a true man of God. And his father, I heard him pray at a convention one year to open the prayer with the invocation. Big, heavy set man. But man, could he pray in the name of Jesus. And God saw the plight of those beautiful people. And this is a milestone here to have the first black president. And how happy everyone is about it for that reason. And of course, a lot of folks have other reasons too, but wow, I think that's the Lord just saying, you know what? I'm gonna vindicate these folks. They've been treated pretty bad. And to go ahead and bring that part of it, I think we all can rejoice in. And just let our hearts soar with the fact that God heard Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, I have a dream. I love it. And we were in DC 2 years ago and we got to stand on the very spot where he said that. And there was just something that sent chills up my spine. And of course, Abe Lincoln sitting right back behind where he said that. And there's something beautiful about that. Now, in verse 8, it tells us some things not to do. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Now that's the thing, and that is what we need to do. First thing we want to say about verse 8 is this. Resort not to the ways of sinners. Don't stand in the way of sinners. In trying to resolve in your mind and your heart that that's a way to go. You look and you see their prosperity and, you know, we know lots of people that work in my industry, whatever that might be. Let's say you're a used car salesman. And there's a really neat Christian movie that was made about this very subject. What's the name of that movie? Do you remember? What's?
Flywheel.
Flywheel is a movie you can watch. It's really good. It's made by the same company that made the Giants movie. Chasing the Giants, winning. Facing the Giants, yeah, I just can't remember these names, but Flywheel's the same actors, and the guy's a used car salesman. And it gives you insight in the first part of the movie to a wicked used car salesman and how they mark up the prices and cheat on you, and then, you know, take your keys away until you buy a car so you can't drive away, and all that stuff they do, you know. Then he gets saved in the movie. Hallelujah. Salvation. And then how he becomes a very successful used car salesman, because everybody finds out that he's just not called Honest Joe. He is honest, you know, and does it the right way. And so, but it's tempting to go the evil way. Look, I work in the real world, Pastor, and I've got to take a few shortcuts to make a few bucks. So get off my back, Pastor. You know, that is the attitude of some that even want to come to church and try to be Christians. But the Lord says no to that. Cease from that. Cease from doing evil. As it says, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Not for any reason. But you trust God with your business. You do it right. And you trust Him. For me, I think I've shared this recently, I'm not sure, but this really happened to us, is that we lost our mechanic that we had for years. His name's Dick Young. He was up here. He knows the Lord. He would always treat us so fairly. But he moved out of town. So we lost him. So what are we going to do now? Where are we going to find a mechanic? I just kept laying hands on the car, you know. Said, Lord, fix the car because I'm afraid to go to a mechanic, you know. And we saw this special on TV that 70% of the people that the hidden cameras and the hidden reporters went in to try to get work on the car tried to cheat them. And so I'm thinking, man, I've only got 30% chance of finding somebody that's going to work on my car and give me a decent price. And anyway, we're going on like this, and our car's getting a little older, and it's getting time to when it's going to need some work, you know. And anyway, we had a flat tire, and we called the 3A's, and the guy came, the tow truck guy came. And we kind of got to be friends with him as he's changing the tire. And he said, you know, I moved here from another state, and I can't remember what state it was, but he said, since I've got to California here, he just started talking. And he said, man, I towed people into places that just ripped them off. And he said, I've only found one good one in this area, Fitzgerald's. And man, I just, right away in my head, you know, Fitzgerald's, okay, I've got one more, yes. And went up to Fitzgerald's the next time the car broke down and got to know him, goes to Calvary Costa Mesa, his son's on the mission field. And I went, ha, ha, hallelujah. I wanted to just worship there, you know. And then and there was some, a minister came in as I was there waiting for my car with the collar and the white thing and everything. I said, oh, this is the place to be. These guys have found out too. But it's rare, but it's a blessing. And these guys, they don't want for business at all. And you know, I really think that if some of these guys that cheat you would just do you right, that gets around. And you start telling your friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and the pastor standing here telling, how many friends do I have here, you know? Fitzgerald is the place to go. And so it's just wonderful how things can get better when you go God's way. I just want to encourage you with that. But now the first part of verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. That is really, really important. Let's go to James 1:19 on that. We quote this verse a lot, but I want you to see it in the New Testament. James 1:19 and 20. Oh yeah, I got the bill from a Goodyear place for my car, and they wanted $1,400 to fix it. And I went to Fitzgerald's, it was $256. Can you believe that? That's amazing. I saved a grand. Oh man, gotta find God's people and be one of God's people to help people out. Okay, James 1:19. It says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. It does absolutely zero good for you to get upset and blow a cork over whatever the wicked are doing today, because they're going to do it again tomorrow. And the wrath, as you become angry and want to throw things at the television set, or, you know, start screaming at somebody, it does absolutely no good at all. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. It never has, and it never will. And so we have to watch ourselves on that, on any issue, whatever wicked issue it is. If the wrath begins to rise, it's not going to lead to anything good. We have to do what we can in the Lord, keeping our eyes on Jesus and keeping the temper down and just saying, Lord, what do I do now? What do I say now? And it is true that Jesus had some righteous anger, and he was led by the Father to do the turning over the tables and the making of the whip, driving out the money changers from the temple. And that might happen with you. But it is a controlled thing. It must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why the scripture says to cease from anger. And it says here in James, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. It's got to be the Lord. We have to be very careful about that as we go. And so as we consider the world around us, we're to cease from the anger, put away the wrath, and seek not to do anything evil, revenge-wise, screaming and cussing people out-wise, or whatever comes to mind with the evil. And so it's a good exhortation, and makes a great, great thing to think about. Now let's go back then to Psalm 37. And you know, in the rest of the psalm, there's a clause that's repeated 7 times. And also mentioned by Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to enjoy this scripture with you tonight, because we're now going to consider the blessings of God for those that will follow the Lord's ways and seek the Lord and trust him, as we've been reading, delighting ourselves in him. And this clause is such a wonderful thing to consider. It kind of has given Sherry and I a new meaning. The Lord has given us a new meaning, a new blessing with this old truth just recently. So I want to just share that with you. So we're back to Psalm 37. And as we read through now, I want to just emphasize this one clause that's repeated so many times. Psalm 37. And we begin to read now in verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Well, it means in the Hebrew, inherit the earth. Yeah, I like this. Those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, and this is the way Jesus, this is where Jesus quotes, the meek or the humble of heart shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. And this is God's reaction. He just told us, cease from anger, right? Cease from anger. This is the way the Lord reacts to the wicked, gnashing and plotting with their teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him. Ha, 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 ha. For he sees that his day is coming, when he'll be cut down like the grass. So the Lord just kicks back in his old big chair up there on the throne and just laughs at these folks that think they're going to overtake God and God's purposes and God's people. It's just not going to happen. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. had this happen in a very graphic way a few years back. There were some folks that were trying to get out bad news about me as a pastor, and I think I've shared this part of with you a lot, so you probably heard it before, but the part of what happened at the end is different. So anyway, someone got a hold of the directory and spent $300 on stamps to just mail a letter condemning me as a pastor, in a letter, and sent it to all the people. And, you know, God gave me kind of a peace through all that, to just keep teaching the word and not worry about it. For the Lord's the one that defends us. But one of the elders here at the church got really ticked off at this guy and these guys. I guess there was a couple of them involved. And he went down to Costa Mesa to see Pastor Chuck about the situation. And he wasn't able to get into Chuck, but he had Pastor Romaine. And when you get Romaine, you kind of get sweaty palms. You know, Pastor Romaine's in heaven now, and I'm sure that he would love this to be said about him, because he was a Marine Corps guy, and he'd love to be the one to, you know, make you tow the barge, you know. And anyway, so this elder from our church went in to Pastor Romaine and started telling him the whole story about this whole fall-to-roll thing, and I won't bother you with that. I hardly remember all the details. It's usually something dumb. Anyway, they're just ticked, and they're writing these bad letters about me and all this stuff. And Pastor Romaine just leaned back in his chair. This is how the elder described it, and just started laughing. Like, you know, I mean, Costa Mesa's seen everything. And so Pastor Romaine is just cracking up. And then when he was done with his guffawing, he just looked at the elder and said, God's going to smite those guys. And so when I read this verse, I just think of that whole situation. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. And it is true. Those guys, I feel sorry for them, because they've just begun to wander and to be disillusioned, and all the things that happen to folks that do stuff like that. And so it's the truth of it. And so the anger is unnecessary. The wrath that works not the righteousness of God is just a waste of time. We just keep our eyes on him. And so it goes on. It says, now the wicked have drawn out a sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Oh, that is so true. You know, from time to time, you'll recognize and realize that you might have a little, but a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. And this goes back to the theme, don't be envious against the workers feast and strife. And isn't that true? Did you ever feel strifeful at a dinner and angry at a dinner, and it's so hard to swallow your food, and finally you give up on it, and you could have a great big old steak or whatever, but it's no good to you because you're just filled with such strife? It's just so much better just to have a little, just a morsel, and quietness in your heart. And that's what it says in Proverbs 17:1. And so a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So I think we can include that verse. The other verses, the meek shall inherit the earth. Those that wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. And now we read in verse 18, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. I love this verse, and I love it more right now, because we are threatened with a Great Depression. Whether or not that comes about, we don't know yet. We sure hope not, and we pray not. But if it does, I love this verse. This is a verse that you can take out of the promise of God. The upright, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Take that for your own. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous show mercy and give. Oh yeah. You know, it's just amazing how sometimes the poorest people give the most. When you start making a lot of bucks and you start thinking of all the things you want to do with all those bucks, there's not room to give. Yeah. Chuck used to tell a story about a lady in New York. New York, that's the way New Yorkers would say it, New York. And in New York, she was really rich. And she would actually have her butler buy a newspaper and bring it up to her, and she would read the newspaper and then fold it very carefully, be careful not to wrinkle it as she read it, and have the butler go back down and sell it again just to get the dime. And it was just the type of person she was, the tightwad lady, and just living that way. And she was just a billionaire lady, you know. So those kinds of things happen. Don't let it happen to you. We need to always serve God with an open hand. And there's folks around us that need help, and to learn that generosity. And so we read this, that the wicked, you see, will borrow and not even pay it back. But the righteous will go ahead and I lost my verse. What verse am I on? Oh, the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. There it is again. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. He is able to keep the feet of his saints. So we get in trouble, he's been ordering our steps, and we fall. He shall not be utterly cast down, because we belong to Jesus Christ, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There's another promise about bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. We have that cut off a lot, don't we? The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Now we think about Israel. We think about Israel being given the land where they dwell. And God's going to keep that. God's going to keep that stable. For that land was given to them by the Lord, and they shall inherit the land. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. And now one of my favorite clauses in the Bible, Mark, the perfect man. You like that one, Mark? Yeah, bro. Yeah, we're in. Yeah. and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know, this is a fun thing to talk about my own name, but you know what? You could put your own name in there, because we will be perfect one day. When we see him, we'll be like him. And that is classically wonderful. And so we can actually talk about that way, which, of course, it doesn't mean that, but but one day we'll all be perfect. Just men made perfect, along with the multitudes of angels in heaven, it says. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. What a blessing. Now, these seven times that it mentions that the upright in heart, those that are waiting on the Lord, those that are meek before him, shall inherit the land or the earth. And this is a tremendous, tremendous promise. And of course, I quote to you Matthew 5:5, where Jesus Christ said that blessed is the man, blessed are they. I'm going to turn to it because I don't want to get it wrong. There's so many blesseds in there. So let's just, Matthew 5:5. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, yes. Blessed are the meek. And he was quoting from this psalm. For they shall inherit the earth, and the meek is the humble of heart. You know, I've been thinking about this. You know, our apartment complex has been under threat for 5 years now. And praise the Lord, we just talking to a guy that was taking pictures of the place the other day, and we had heard we would get a notice in November to be out in 4 months. But we talked to the guy who's taking pictures of our apartment complex, and he said, oh no, they've asked us to finance it, and it'll be at least another year. So on we go, you know, in our apartment complex. But as we're going through this, you know, and many people have left because of the pressure. They can't take the pressure of, because, you know, they're not looking to the Lord. You know, they just got their hope in something less. So they end up moving out because of the pressure. But Sherry and I are hanging in there, and we've got big red roses on the porch, and just trust in God, and God keeps stretching it out. You know, it's just a marvelous thing to see. But you know, it just hit us that, you know, we're under this pressure of the world and the ideas of the high finance to tear down our ugly old apartment complex, which we love, and put up $1 million condominiums to sell to the rich. And, you know, and we're thinking about, well, maybe some miracle, we could actually buy one of these $1 million condos. And then we thought about thinking about what the taxes would be on that. We couldn't even afford the tax, let alone the building, you know. So then we realize we're kind of, you know, out in the cold if it's not the Lord. And so all these times the Lord says, those that wait upon me, those that fear me, those that are meek before me shall inherit the earth. And just the thought that in that day when we come back to rule and reign on the earth with Jesus Christ, all of the wicked connivers and the folks that are just out to greedy-eyes you and so forth will be gone. They'll just be us. And I just kind of picture us frolicking around in areas that we'd like to live in, looking for the best house that's been vacated. That kind of thing, you know. I don't know, I just got blessed thinking about that. Because we're going to inherit the earth. And it is just a marvelous thing to know that God's watching over us like that. I want to end with a story. And I'm just a little bit over time. Just end with the story. It's just so neat that there was this missionary in Africa. And he went there and Africa is there for 20 years. And then also there was a dignitary that was coming back from Africa the same time he's coming back after his long stint in Africa. And they arrive on the boat at the dock, and there's a big brass band to meet this dignitary, and all these people cheering for this dignitary has come back from Africa. And this missionary has lost his wife in Africa, while they were there and serving, she got sick and died, and so he's coming back alone. There's nobody to meet him. And he's kind of just grumbling to the Lord and just saying, you know, Lord, I get home here, and this dignitary got home here to New York, and all these people meet him, and they're just lauding him and praising him, and there's nobody here to meet me. And the Lord just whispered to his heart, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. And that's the way it is with the Christian. You're not home till you're home. And when you get home, that's when the band's going to play. And that's when Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Man, that missionary just got a big smile on his face. Just thinking, man, I'm going home someday. Isn't that a great thought? Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for the promised land. Lord, we thank you that we will inherit the earth. Why? Because you said it. You said it seven times in one psalm. And Lord, you said it in the sermon you gave us when you came. Jesus, thank you for this truth. And Father, Father, help us to be content with what we have. And Lord, to just appreciate a little, Lord, with quietness therewith. And so we thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So if you would desire prayer for anything, we always have the invitation out to come to the prayer room. The Lord just loves to hear us pray and come to him in a special way. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.